We have quite a bit of bookkeeping. We have a lot of bookkeeping to do. We have a lot of bookkeeping to do so that we can proceed without a full body. Senator Kelly has the floor.
Return to the introduction of guests, please.
Yes, we'll return the introduction of guests.
Mr. President, the gallery behind me sitting with Lisa Nelson is her mother from Anchorage, Thordis Nelson, and their friend Helmi Mosio, and they're on their way to Petersburg to view the aftermath of the Norwegian Festival, then on to Sitka from there. Welcome to the Senate.
There are messages. You have floor, Senator.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have an Eddie's.
We'll be at ease. Our messages from the governor.
Message of May 25, dear Senator Curtula, regarding Committee Substitute Present Bill Number 435 LNC, extending the termination date of the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers and providing for an effective date. I have vetoed CSSB 435 LNC, which would have extended the termination date for the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers from June 30, 1984 to June 30, 1985. I have taken this action based on the recommendation of the Division of Legislative Audit in its April 29, 1983 performance report on the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, recommendation number 1, pages 7 and 8, that the public can be adequately protected by the Division of Occupational Licensing without the Board. Even though I have vetoed this bill, the Board will have until June 30, 1985 to conclude its affairs. During this time, a review may be undertaken of the statutes and regulations governing the Board and those licenses. In this way, we can still implement the intent of the legislature as indicated by the legislative letter of intent adopted by both the Senate, 1984 Senate Journal, and House Journal. I fully concur with this effort and offer the full cooperation of my administration to assist in the formulation of recommendations for statutory and regulation change. Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. That's the only message from the governor.
There are messages from the House.
Messages of May 24, the House concurred in the Senate amendment to CS House Bill 546, Resources Amended, thus passing CS House Bill 546, Resources Amended Senate, Obstruction or Hindrance of Lawful Hunting, Fishing, and Trapping. The House concurred in the Senate amendment to House Bill 575, thus passing Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 575, Judiciary Amended Senate, Satisfaction of Orders of Restitution from Permanent Fund Dividends. The House passed Senate Bill 550, an act making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature effective date. This has been sent to enrolling. Those are the messages from the House.
The House has a bill that I'm holding on my desk. We've been consulting with the Speaker and the Finance Chairman on House Bill 504. The House is rewriting that, and I'll wait that rewrite before acting on that, suggesting action on that message. It's a student scholarship loan bill, and I think it'll shorten the session rather than lengthen it to await that rewrite. Takes us to the daily calendar. First item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 532. Secretary reads Senate Bill 532 by title off the committee report.
Senate Bill 532 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loan associations, and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill. Senator Elias and Chairman signed do pass, signing no recommendation were Senators Rohde, Mulcahy, and Pettyjohn. The Finance Committee considered this bill, and majority of the committee recommend do pass. Signed Senator Sackett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Ferguson, Vic Fisher, and Mulcahy. Senator Bennett and Senator Fakes signed no recommendation.
The floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Didn't we have any committee reports that were, if we went back up the calendar to take messages from the governor,
yes.
I thought we had committee reports.
We do have standing committee reports. Yes, we could proceed and do that in advance of acting on the legislation or do it on unfinished business. There's no objection to doing it, though, at this time. Please proceed, Secretary Sen.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 49, suspending Uniform Rules 24C and 41B of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 399, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, Eliason, and Pettyjohn. SCR 49 has no further referral.
Senator Ray.
We adopt a supplemental journal. supplemental calendar.
Motion has been made, unanimous consent, to adopt the supplemental calendar. There is no objection doing that. Proceed.
The Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 505, Judiciary Insurance. Senator Ray Chairman and Senators Pettyjohn and Eliason signed no recommendations, assigning due pass with Senators Ziegler and Josephson. House Bill 505 has further referral to Labor and Commerce. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the Rules Committee considered the following and recommended that they be put on the supplemental calendar. Senate Bill number 532, State Taxation of National Banks, State Banks, Trust Companies, and Savings and Loan Associations. CSHB 320 Finn, Royalty Oil Contracts, and approving the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company, and recommends the Finance Senate Committee substitute. House Bill number 654, Alaska Foreign Offices. CSHB 553 Loans, amending the Alaska Grain Reserve Program. Signed Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Bennett, and Ferguson. Senator Kelly signed none on Senate Bill 532. Those do appear on the supplemental calendar.
You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, may we have any of these?
We'll be at ease. Those have to be briefly gone. At this time, Senate Bill 532 is before us. It was read. It's in second reading. I think that probably many members, and this is very indirect, but I have to announce that I have my wife and my family and I have stock in two banks in the state, and I suppose that there's no doubt I should not be voting on this bill, and I'd ask permission not to vote on it.
Objection.
Objections noted.
Yes.
Senator Ziegler, object.
Ask unanimous consent.
Object.
Senator Mulcahy, Senator Sturgiluski, Senator.
I'm not sure, but I might.
Senator Kelly. And Senator Eliason, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I may have a conflict of interest in this bill since I owe money to the banks.
Is that what we're doing?
That may be more important than the latter, now that I think about it, than the former. Are there amendments to Senate Bill 532?
There are no amendments.
I think you've gotten every member's statement and every member's and the objection of the body. It has to be unanimous. There are no amendments?
There are
Senator
no amendments.
Senator Josephson, do you wish to move the bill?
Mr. President, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be advanced to third reading, considered engrossed, placed on final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 532 has been advanced to third reading. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill number 532, an act relating to state taxation of national banks, state banks, trust companies, and savings and loans associations, and providing for an effective date.
Mr. President,
you have the floor, Senator.
I've distributed, this is an administration bill, and I distributed the governor's late letter dated March 21st, 1984, that pretty well explains everything there is to say about the bill. I'd be glad to answer any questions. That up until this point in time, national banks and loan associations have been exempted by federal regulation, but with the deregulation of banks, this is no longer true, and what this bill will do will make them fall under the state's corporate income tax, just like any other corporation in the state.
You have the floor, Senator Halpern.
Thank you, Mr. President. What is the net effect in terms of tax level of changing from 4370 to 4320?
Senator Mulcahy?
Mr. President, the fiscal note that we got from the Department of Revenue says it's, as far as they can tell, it'll be a zero effect on the state's income.
Senator Rohde, did you wish to testify on this?
I was going to reiterate the same remarks as Senator Mulcahy.
Thank you. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 532 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas and 4 absent.
Bill has been adopted. Effective date clause.
Senator Josephson.
Senator Halford, U.S. move for the debate clause.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call and final passage of Senate Bill 532 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Next item on the daily calendar is committee substitute House Bill 320. Secretary, read the bill by title, author, and committee report.
CS for House Bill Number 320, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to royalty oil contracts and approving the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee waived referral. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Vic Fisher, and Josephson. Senator Sackett, Mulcahy, and Ferguson signed no recommendation.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Finance Committee report.
Objections noted. Senator Sackett, do you wish to express yourself on this?
No.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I'm raising the objection to adoption of the Senate Committee Finance Committee substitute based on the letter that was sent to you by Commissioner. It is on everyone's desk. Explains, Mr. President, that the only change in here is added on page one, on the first line after the title, where Cook Inlet is added. The commissioner feels that that is an unnecessary amendment, since the only other contract that is before us specifies Prudhoe Bay Oil, and she's asking that we consider not concurring or not adopting this amendment so it does not have to go back to the House for concurrence.
Senator Sackett has the floor.
Mr. President, the committee substitute was recommended by Senator Bennett, and perhaps you might want to hold this over till tomorrow. Either that or send it back to Finance.
Without objection, we'll hold it till tomorrow's calendar. The next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 553. Secretary, read House Bill 553 by title off in committee report.
CS for House Bill Number 553, loans by the House Special Committee on State Loans, an act amending the Alaska Grain Reserve Program and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee waived and the Finance Committee waived because this bill is the same as Senate Bill 335, which is an identical bill and received due passes out of those committees.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The bill is before you in second reading. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 553, loans, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 553, loans, an act amending the Alaska Grain Reserve Program and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Senator Fahrenkamp has the floor.
Mr. President, the Grain Reserve Program was established in 1983 to make loans for crops grown in the 83-84 session. Current statutes require that the grain used as collateral for a loan must be graded number four or better. Well, in Alaska, we have a problem in that the grains here are not graded by USDA. And according to the USDA Federal Grain Inspector Service, it would take 3 years to establish a grade for hullless barley. So what this does is to put hullless barley and make it eligible for loans.
I might say it was established for my benefit that this is not junk or hulls or unacceptable grain. This grain is standard, is really greater and have higher quality than the other. That was established at our... You have floor, Senator.
That's true, sir. It's just that it's not been classified by USDA.
You have floor, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Did we ever get an answer to the question raised by line one on page two, which includes in the revolving fund the repayment of principal and accrued interest?
I believe that you have floor, Senator. There was a request made of the Attorney General on this subject.
Mr. President, wasn't there a report indicating that this was an expression of the appropriation process and was therefore valid?
Yes.
Yes, that was on our desk this morning, I know.
Senator Fahrenkamp has a...
Mr. President, if you remember, we had the same problem with another bill, and we brought out that report. That does not say that they will swear unequivocally that they won't have a problem. But they did say it was not unconstitutional and defendable in court, for whatever that means.
You have the floor, Senator Ferguson. We'll be at ease. Senate, please come back to order. Senator Halford.
Mr. President, though I'm not totally convinced by the opinion at this point, I'll check into it and I'll reconsider the bill rather than slow it down at this time.
Thank you. Question is, shall House Bill 553 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 2 nays, and 4 absent.
Senator Joseph.
Move the roll call and passage of the bill be considered the roll call on the effective date.
Without objection. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 6. You go floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I'd like for the body to consider taking up committee substitute for House Bill 320 Finance as it currently is written now.
Secretary Post, House Bill 320, if there's no objection, was moved to hold it over, but that motion, unanimous consent, has been asked to bring it up before us this time. There's no objection. House Bill 320 then is before us. Secretary, read the bill.
The motion was by Senator Sackett to adopt the Senate Committee substitute. It was moved and objected to.
The bill on the calendar, on the,
yes.
It is on the board.
Mr. President,
I'll hear you, Senator.
The letter from Commissioner Wernicke closes by saying, if appropriate, this letter may be made a part of the journal. I would move national unanimous consent that the letter be placed in the journal.
No objection. It's in the journal. Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I remove my objection to the Finance Committee substitute.
Finance Committee substitute, then, has been adopted. Secretary, read the substitute by title.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 320, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to royalty oil contracts and approving the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company and providing for an effective date.
Bill is in second reading.
Is
it in third reading?
Oh, it's in second, I'm sorry.
It's in second reading. We adopted the substitute. Is there a proposed amendment? You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that sitting committee substitute for House Bill 320 Finance be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, place for final passage.
No objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 320 Fin, an act relating to royalty oil contracts and approving the sale of royalty oil by the State of Alaska to the Tesoro Alaska Petroleum Company and providing for an effective date.
Those before you for discussion for debate, and the Sackett has.
Mr. President, with regard to this contract, the volume is 100% of Cook Inlet royalty oil. The price is in the value plus field costs and platform to the shore. Expenses. The term is to January 1, 1995. All oil must be processed at Tesoro's Cook Inlet refinery. Tesoro's existing Prudhoe Bay contract sells them 45,000 barrels a day minus the Cook Inlet volumes. Thus, if this contract is not approved, the state would not gain any volume in oil, but instead would have to deliver 8,000 barrels a day of additional Prudhoe Bay oil. Tesoro has had a contract for all the Cook Inlet royalty oil since 1969. This contract is the latest in a series of contracts with them.
The question is before you. The question is, if there's no further debate, shall House Bill 320 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. There were 16 a moment ago. Any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas and 4 absent.
Congratulations. been adopted. You have floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of the bill be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection. 14 votes are all taken for effective date. The next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 654. Will the Secretary read House Bill 654?
House Bill number 654. By Representatives Hayes, Bettesworth, Cowdery, and Herman, an act relating to Alaska foreign offices and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill. Senator Eliason signed do pass. Senator Pettyjohn signed do not pass. Senator Rohde and Mulcahy signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee considered this bill. Senator signing no recommendation were Senators Bennett, co-chairman, Sackett, Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. Signing do pass were Senator Josephson and Senator Ferguson.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments to 654, Senator Ray.
Move the Senate at
ease. Be at ease.
Yeah.
Bill 654 advanced to third reading.
It ended
Senator
up
Joseph.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 654 be considered in gross advance to third reading, placed on for final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
House Bill number 654, an act relating to Alaska foreign offices and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Is there debate?
Question.
Question is, shall House Bill 654 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 3 nays, and 1 absent.
The bill has been adopted. There is an effective date clause. Senator A.
Senator Joseph.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill 654 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
No objection, so ordered. House bill on second reading is House Bill 707. Secretary, read it in second reading.
House bill number. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 707, an act relating to lobbying and providing for an effective date. The Senate committee substitute was adopted this morning and it's in second reading.
Are there amendments?
Yes, there is an amendment number one by Senator Fahrenkamp. Pages 1 and 2, lines 28, 29, page 2, line 1, delete subsection 7, subsection 7 of section 1.
Senator Fahrenkamp, do you wish to place the motion?
Mr. President, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Objections noted. Do you wish to speak to the amendment?
Mr. President, we have a list of 229 people that by this act we are making it impossible for them to serve on most boards and commissions. If there could be any other wording I could figure out that would relieve the problem of putting these people in somewhat of a second-class situation, I don't know particularly why this part is deemed as this important, but we have commissioners and commission members and board members who serve that are members of the lobbying community. The lobbying community is one of our best sources of resource and research. They're knowledgeable in their fields. And on many of the boards and commissions, this knowledge can be very valuable to us. I just feel that particularly in the case, for instance, of the Commission on the Management of Alaskan Areas, the chairman of that board right now lobbies for a group. And the way this is worded, where it may be economically affected by the decision of a body where their employer could be a whole group of people as an organization. And they could be economically affected in the long run indirectly by them being on the board. So I think that we are doing something here that was robbing us of some of the expertise we need on some of these boards and commissions, and therefore I support the amendment.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, with all respect,
A lobbyist is by definition a person who is paid money to represent a certain interest. And I don't think that by voting against this amendment, I'm impinging on anyone's integrity or anything else. It's just the fact is that if someone is paid and makes their living by representing certain interests in this state, that I think it calls into question their impartiality in serving on a public board or commission. So with all respect, I feel I must vote against it.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I feel that I must respond to that in that we have quite a number of people who lobby for organizations or a group on a quite temporary basis and for minimal amounts of money, sometimes only for their expenses down here, and sometimes not even for that. And we're robbing them also of being on these boards. So I just think it's much too broad, as stated here.
You're the floor, Senator.
I concur with the senator from Fairbanks. I think this goes way beyond, and it's the kind of thing that could be a very peripheral type of interest that might come up very, very rarely, and yet that person is not really denied, I think, the rights of a average citizen in the state, and I just think it goes far too far.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, aren't we talking about public confidence? And I don't think that this amendment will enhance public confidence in the process, because the public perceives lobbyists as promoting the point of view that they are paid to promote. And by allowing them on boards and commissions that are to be impartial and serve the public interest, I think we're undermining the public confidence in our institutions. And that's really the only thing we have in democracy. And for that reason, I think the proposed amendment is not in the public interest.
All right.
Well, if you have somebody, we'll take one of the ladies' groups, Alaska University Women, and they're going to get a grant, or they are seeking a grant, and they have one of their people are up here lobbying for them, and they're seeking a grant, and this person is going to be on a board, and she's getting paid nothing anyway. So I would think it would be up to the governor to make the first initial basic appointment, and then it's up to this body to confirm or deny them. And if you think that they are too close to them, then you can deny them by your vote.
If there's no objection, and perhaps we can artfully have a little opportunity, and I know we should have already, but I'd like to hold this in second reading till tomorrow's calendar with the attendant amendment.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
I concur with that, because it may be possible to place this language in a form to where we are talking about lobbyists who receive significant compensation.
I would ask that Senator Joseph, you work on that amendment with the prime sponsor, at least the prime proponent on the floor at this moment. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I will go along with that, but I'm reminded again of the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We don't have any major high-paid lobbyists on these boards. It just really bothers me.
Senator Ray, you were seeking
a just a parliamentary inquiry, point of information.
Yes, sir.
On the calendar, what did we do with the second reading of the House bills? 553, did we pass that?
Yeah, those bills were passed. Senator Helfrich gave reconsideration on 553.
Thank you.
Senator Helfrich?
Mr. President, I intended to give reconsideration. I noticed that I would. Before the vote, I would serve notice of my reconsideration at this time on House Bill 553 and also Senate Bill 532.
With apologies. I thought you'd done it. I just time it up. Senator Gilman, do you wish to speak to 707 in my
Mr. President, yes. As long as there's going to be some work on this bill, if you would allow me the latitude, Mr. President, I realize it's in second reading, but
please proceed, Senator.
In the second section, it seems to me like that we may also be building in an unfair situation. As I understand it, those grants that are made under 3705.315 to 3705.317 are specific kinds of grants to named recipients, and yet some of those people that work in those grants that would be restricted under this bill if they were working, and I'll use an example of an alcohol abuse program.
where there was a specific grant that went under 3705315 to a community or to an unincorporated community or to a nonprofit corporation. They would not be allowed to use any of that money to lobby on. But the alcohol program that gets its money through the Division of Alcoholism can use that money to come to this, to Juneau, to travel to Juneau, and by virtue of that lobby, and I think there could possibly be, and all I'm asking is if they're looking at it, could possibly be an uneven or unequal situation being built into it.
You have the floor, Senator.
That distinction may be a rational one because we distinguish between those who do come to the legislature and seek grants to their agencies as named recipients as presenting a different problem than those who go through the grant application process through the administration and compete with other organizations which are not named by law.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President.
We are in second reading, but please proceed.
I think we all know that that isn't the real world, that those people that are paid through those grants that come out of health and social services are probably the worst offenders.
There's no objection. We'll attempt to provide an amendment so that this good piece of legislation might have a better chance of adoption. We'll be held over till tomorrow's calendar's second reading, and I ask the Senator Joseph, I'll work with Senator Fahrenkamp on an amendment. You have the floor, rules, Chairperson.
May we have an ease, sir?
We're at ease. You have the floor, Senator.
I'd like to announce on adjournment there will be a leadership caucus this evening.
You have the floor, Senator Pettyjohn.
Mr. President, I would like to give notice of my request for reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 654.
Reconsideration is noted for the following day. To floor, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, following the adjournment of today's session, there will be a minority caucus.
Are there items under announcement of committee meetings? Are there announcement of committee meetings? Finance Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, taking up committee substitute for House Bill 684, an act making special appropriation of Alaska Power Authority. Also, committee substitute for House Bill 685, an act relating to Alaska Resources Corporation. Also, the Conference Committee on the Budget will meet tomorrow afternoon at 1:30. 1330 to your military.
Are there items under special orders? Senator Joseph, Senator Ray, can you come up here? We'll be at ease. Senate, please come back to order. There's a message from the House, the one that I mentioned on 504. Secretary, please read that message.
Mr. President, the House failed to concur in Senate CS for House Bill 504 Judiciary, establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program, EFD, and respectfully requests the Senate to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill 504 Finance. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker appointed a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representative Hurlburt, Chairman, Representatives Adams and Davis.
There be a motion on receding from the Senate amendments and respectfully request return down, Senator Ring.
I move that the Senate amendments to House Bill 504 or Judiciary and ask the body to vote no.
Question is, shall the Senate recede from its amendments to 504, the Rural Scholarship Loan Program? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows two nays, two yeas, 17 nays, and one absent.
The Senate has not received the House, so be informed, and a conference committee will be appointed. Senator Ray, Senator Sackett, and Senator Joe Joseph.
I think that's Senator Sackett, Senator Ray, and Senator Joseph.
I have
Senator Josephson, Senator Sackett.
Senator Sackett.
I don't care who is first because I already have the bill ready.
Thank you, Senator Ray. We'll make Senator Sackett the chairman. That takes us to adjournment.
Mr. President,
you have the floor,
under
Senator.
Special orders?
We're under special orders. You have the floor, Senator.
Very briefly. I'll wait.
The Supreme Court ruled today that Governor Sheffield, number one, was entitled to use the Eagle River 1400 in his reapportionment, and number two, that the Superior Court had exceeded its authority in telling the governor to make the fewest possible changes for his next order. That decision is disappointing but not disheartening. The Supreme Court left to the Superior Court, Judge Shortell, to decide on whether or not the Sheffield plan is constitutional. There'll be argument on that on the 30th. Until then, I would hesitate, if I was a member of this body, in crowing. I am a cock who's crowed, perhaps prematurely, and I would advise anybody else against that. Thank you.
Senator Josephson.
Senator Pettyjohn gives us the advice he would give if he were a member of this body. He is still a member of this body.
Thank you, Senator Pettyjohn. Senator 8. Yes. Senator 8.
Could we revert to introduction resolutions?
Without objection. We have a resolution.
Senate concurrent resolution by the Judiciary Committee relating to the adjournment sine die of the second session 13th legislature.
Senator Ray.
I would ask that that be held on the Secretary's desk.
We'll be on the Secretary's desk temporarily. Yeah. Yep, floor, Senator.
Well, is it a normal procedure? It gets
normal procedure.
To a standing committee like the Rules Committee?
Yes, sir.
There is no requirement for resolutions other than joint resolutions to be referred to a committee. Look at your uniform rules, and I think you'll find that. I think I made a proper motion, Mr. President. I'm sure that you'll agree.
There's no objection for it being held. I know that. Senator Aid,
there's no other business come before the Senate. I move we adjourn to 10 a.m. tomorrow.
11 a.m.
Or 11 a.m.
Excuse me. 11 a.m. Saturday.
Nobody's going to know.
We'll have a caucus.